Chapter 2. A couple of weeks later in Edmonton, Sam sat at her desk scratching her head. She was concocting a lesson plan for youth who don't have regular access to scientific equipment. But her mind was elsewhere. Something was wrong. She could sense it in the world. She could hear the murmuring of the creatures around her, from the smallest gnat to the soaring bird. There were whispers in the air. She stood up, grabbed her bag, and headed out, quickly whipping out her phone and sending an email to her boss and let her know that she would not be in the office for the foreseeable future. Something was terribly wrong. She needed to get to Yellowknife. Chuck was in the laboratory playing with chemicals a couple hours south from Sam. He was mixing the dangerous liquids in measured doses, with the second Chuck taking notes at his side, recording everything he was doing, staying true to the rigor of the scientific process. All of a sudden, Chuck dropped the test tube he was holding, and it came crashing to the ground, releasing the faint smell of nail polish. His eyes darkened as those of his double lit up. Something was wrong. He quickly packed away the materials he was working with, took off his lab coat and goggles, threw away his gloves, swept up the broken glass, and ran out. He needed to get to Yellowknife. All the way at the western edge of the country, Kyle was taking part in an ocean shore cleanup. He joined tens of people as they patrolled beaches on Vancouver Island, searching for debris and trash left at the water's edge. Although taxing work, the volunteers were having a good time, smiling and laughing as they reveled in one another's company. Without warning, it started raining, not a tranquil pitter-patter of water, but a torrential downpour, coming from clouds that were not present seconds earlier. And as the water touched Kyle's skin, he could feel its pain. He could feel the hurt of each dihydrogen monoxide molecule. He could hear their screams. Something was wrong. He turned to the water and felt its request. He then turned around and ran. He had to get to Yellowknife. Kevin was on his bike, heading towards a restaurant to meet a friend. He was early and took advantage of his punctuality to bike around the beautiful Toronto waterfront, admiring the trees and the sunshine. He could hear the hustle and bustle of this big city, with the quiet touches of Brother Nature. The chirping of birds, the fluttering of wings, the passage of the wind. It was so peaceful. He blinked, and time had frozen. Everything was at a standstill as a massive long red dragon descended from the heavens. Something was wrong. He whipped out his phone to cancel on his friend and started pedaling at high speed. He had to get to Yellowknife. Within the same vicinity, Bill was pulling together some funds for a project he was about to begin. He was a passionate educator and a strong advocate for the benefits of nature at a young age. As he scanned over his application for financing, he felt a twinge of panic. This was a man that never panicked. He did not know the feeling of panic, but it was signaled. Something was wrong, extremely wrong. He opened a new tab on his browser and Googled the next flight to Yellowknife. Ghislaine was in the classroom, surrounded by magic. An entire forest had been constructed, complete with children playing recklessly and without concern. Her students sat in awe as Ghislaine lectured on the importance of nature in childhood development and the need for unstructured play in the early years. The vision she conjured was beautiful, happy, and light, but within seconds, this world became sinister. The shadows looked like monsters, and the children cowered in fear. Something was wrong. Ghislaine put an end to her project and dismissed the class early. In mere moments, she was in the taxi on the way to the airport. She had to get to Yellowknife. Denis was hurtling down the river at incredible speeds. He was in his small one-man kayak, paddling with strength and ferocity. His endorphins pumping, high on the beauty that surrounded him and the experience he was having. He took in large gulps of air and howled, letting his lungs empty themselves. Today was a good day. As he came to a calmer section of the tributary, his heart rate slowed down and he took a moment to stretch. As he did so, the sky turned blood red and the moon engulfed the sun. His body bristled at the feeling of absolute despair that had invaded his soul. Today was not a good day. Something was wrong. He quickly maneuvered himself to the water's edge, stepped out, barefoot, onto the smooth pebbles underneath his feet. Furs started rapidly erupting from his skin, but before any transformation could take place, he was already running. He was needed in Yellowknife. The other members from around the country were on the move as well. Pascal from Halifax, Dan from Whitehorse, and Robin from Vancouver, all heading to Yellowknife.